Thank you, Jessica. Turn the master volume down just a little bit. Thank you. So foundations. We all know how important foundations are. We know how important foundations are in building. We know that building on sandy soil has its problems. And although there are times and places and technology in today's world where helical piers might allow you to build on sand. And a helical pier is basically if you're out on the beach and you got the umbrella and it's got the screw thing, right, that goes down into the sand. That's a helical pier. But it's just a lot bigger. And it goes down and it anchors. And that's the thing. It anchors. But in Palestine, what made it even better illustration was the rain that would come down so quickly. Some territory would look okay to build on, but the locals knew what would eventually happen, and our foundation would be washed away. You know, when we talk about foundations and we're talking about core, so in this year, in the 2023 baseball season, which is well underway, I wanted to invest more time with foundation. And what I mean by that is when we talk about our bodies, we have to have a good foundation. We have to have a good core, okay? And when we're talking about our core, we're talking about our torso, and we're talking about our legs. And so I got a med ball set. And I came up with a routine. And I knew the efficiency of day one was not going to be good. But I also knew that if we invested time every day doing these exercises, that we would not only get faster at doing the exercises and more efficient at doing the exercises, but as we move through the season and we do this every day, that we were going to get stronger. And if you don't have a good core, if you don't have a good foundation, you're flimsy. There's a difference between a firm foundation and a flimsy foundation, and I'm thinking right now I need you to do a thought exercise with me because I thought about this, like flimsy. Is there any positive connotation for the word flimsy? I don't think so, right? Nobody wants to be flimsy. You want to be firm, right? And so here it is. My baseball team, they weren't too happy about the work. In fact, they didn't really believe in it. And sometimes the process of building a foundation seems too hard. But I want you to think about the difference between what it takes to build a foundation on a solid rock, and just think about house building. Like, what do you need to do? Is it easier just to build on the surface? How hard is it to dig down to the rock? Which is easier? It's easier just to build right on top of the surface. Even if you can get it all leveled out, nice and pretty, everything comes out square and plumb and all that good stuff, the foundation of that house, regardless of what you build on that foundation, is suspect to what? Collapse. And the text tells us what? The collapse is great. But we know that Jesus is not just talking about building the house, although he was a carpenter and had some intimate knowledge, right? What is Jesus talking about? Why does he give us this parable? Luke records a similar parable in chapter 6. So you're going to get to hear this a few times. And so what I want to do is I want to read this. Luke's version is just a little shorter. And he starts out, like this section starts out a little different. In Gospel of Matthew, what I'm about to read is in there, but it's not included in this particular section, which both Matthew and Luke in this translation share the subtitle, The Two Foundations. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the river crashed against the house, and it couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who has built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of that house was great. Now, what foundation are we building on? We're constantly building something. Our lives, we are building something. And the question for today is, are you building on the solid rock of ages? You see, as Paul tells us in Corinthians, like, there is no other foundation that can be laid other than Jesus Christ. You can't build on anything else. We can sit here and we can have all doctrinal debate. We can have theological arguments until the cows come home. But if our gospel is not rooted upon the truth and goodness and beauty of God Almighty in the flesh, Jesus Christ, who died for us, it's for naught. Because the good news is Christ crucified. That's the foundation. And if we aren't building on that, then we're in trouble. The question is, how do we do that? Now, I do want to go through, and I'm calling it the Sermon on the Mount checklist, okay? But before I get there, I want to read a different translation of the Gospel of Matthew. This comes from the Message. And the reason why I'm choosing to do this is because we hear it in a different way. Okay? And I think it's going to be clear. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves come up, it collapsed like a house of cards. When Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. They never heard teaching like this. It was apparent he was living everything he was saying. Quite a contrast to their religion teachers. This was the best teaching they had ever heard. I'm not quite sure I totally agree with the bursting into applause part. Because what Jesus has called us to do in the Sermon on the Mount is rather challenging. And so we're going to go through a checklist. Where do you stand on this rock? Where do you stand on this solid rock of ages, the Sermon on the Mount? So the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. So I've read, what we've been reading is the very end conclusion of that Sermon on the Mount. We've already done the Lord's Prayer. Where is that located? In the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? So chapter 5, here we go. How does it start? Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn because they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle because they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful because they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart because they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers because they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Salt. We are called to be the salt of the earth. What good is salt if it loses its saltiness? We're called to flavor the world. We're called to preserve the world in a way that God has given us the good news to share with the world, that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. To carry the good news into the world that God loved the world so much that he went the distance and died for us. We're to be lights of the world, to shine our light into the world, not to hide our talents, to be a city on a hill, to be a beacon, to be like a lighthouse. And it starts getting a little harder. You know, thou shalt not murder. And Jesus is saying to us that if we are angry with one another, then in some ways we are guilty. If we are looking at someone lustfully, then we have committed adultery. And again, you have heard it said, you must not break your oath. How many times do we really swear that we're going to get something done? But Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. We live in an era now that even signing the paper doesn't even mean a thing. Where a handshake and just your word was good enough. That time just doesn't seem to be here anymore. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. We're supposed to turn the other cheek. To allow somebody who has struck us on one side to give them the other side to hit. And if somebody asks us to go a mile, to do what? To go a second mile? This is what Jesus is telling us to do. And he tells us that, like, don't just love your neighbor, but to love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. And then he says, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. We're not even out of chapter 5 yet. And then he talks about giving and praying and fasting. I'll give my own translation. That would be, don't be a showboat. God knows what you're doing. We don't need to pray like some fancy formula. God knows what's in the heart. When we're fasting, in the season of Lent, is a time of fasting. Don't walk around like you got a sad face because I'm fasting. People shouldn't know that you're fasting. But why are we? Because we're preparing our hearts. We're making a little bit more room for God. You can't get to Easter Sunday without Good Friday. And Good Friday is only good because of what has happened on Sunday. You can't serve two masters. Boy, that's a hard one, right? Now the text, God and money. But really, let's stop it. You can't serve two masters. What is in control of your life? Are you focused? Is God priority? Or other things? And then, oh my gosh, don't worry. We're a bunch of worry warts. I know it. I worry all the time. My brain don't stop. I'm up in the middle of the night. At least in my mind, I'm laying horizontally, but my brain just don't stop. I worry about a lot of things. But Jesus tells us that the lilies of the field have more splendor than Solomon, who was like the wisest, one of the richest men ever. You think about that. All of creation is singing praises to God. And don't you know that you are more valuable than a sparrow? Do not judge. You see, the measure by which you judge, that is how you will be judged. And we have this great speck in your eye and law. It's so easy to see the fault of someone else. And if you can hear that text from the psalmist, forgive me my sins, right? The ones I don't know about, and Lord, keep me, please, keep me from doing the ones I do know about. Judging. But then Jesus says to ask, seek, and knock. That's all he's asking us to do. He says, be perfect. Does he really, are we going to be perfect? Only to the righteousness of Jesus. That is our hope, right? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That is where we stand upon the solid rock. Where we build our lives upon that rock, and it doesn't matter what storm comes in. Hurricane, tornado, it don't matter. Building your life upon the solid rock of ages, and you can sustain any storm. And then entering the kingdom. And Jesus says, hey, all these things that I have just told you about, if you do not put them into practice, you're like the foolish builder. I like actually what the message says, stupid carpenter. You're like the stupid carpenter that built your house on the beach. I'm going to tell you something. Day two of practice. Day two. See, because I watched these boys. And I observed them, what they were doing and what they were not doing. And I was convinced. I said, I told them before we got started, I knew it was not going to be efficient. You see, they didn't believe in the process. They didn't believe in the process of strength building, of taking the time to dig deeper into our foundation and our core. They didn't believe the process. And I told them, I said, I don't care. You don't have to trust the process, but you better trust me. Because if you don't trust me, we're going nowhere. If we do not trust God Almighty, regardless of the ebb and flow, the ups and downs, the high and low of life, we're going to get washed away. We have got to build our house upon the solid rock of ages. That's the gospel truth. Storms will come. It's not an if. Storms will come. You know, so often we don't like the process of life. We don't understand. We often wonder why. Why has that happened? Why is this happening? And we don't understand. We don't have to understand the process of life. The things that God allows us to experience. But we best trust Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. There is no other foundation to build our life upon, other than that foundation that's already been laid Jesus Christ.